The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Today, a tale of hatred and jealousy, and the meager nourishment one can derive from such a diet. It is one of Henry James' best. Some say it is autobiographical, some say not. We say it is unforgettable.
This portrait of yours, Maria, it's a great work. Did you do it all without sketches of the man or studies?
I destroyed everything years ago.
Ah, then you once had them.
I once had everything.
So that it's all memory.
It is all hate.
Our mystery drama, Portrait of Memory, was adapted from a story of Henry James by James Agett Jr., especially for the Mystery Theater, and stars Norman Rose and Marion Seldes. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Expatriates, they call them, those who live abroad. Americans or any national who makes his home in a foreign land and who rarely, if ever, goes home again. Such a man was Justin Court, who spent his youth in the New England town of Old Bedford and maturity in France. It is 2 in the afternoon in an art gallery off the Rue Jacob in Paris.
It's my exhibit, actually. I've had half a dozen or so over the past 20 years, generally in this same gallery, Geringer's. You know the place. Derain hung here. Matisse, Van Dongen. So I'm in good company. Only the art lovers have changed, and I'm afraid, not for the better.
His predilection with death and destruction and disfigurement, Miss Lark, is awesome.
Tremendous, tremendous.
Do you realize there isn't one painting in this entire room in which a human is portrayed at peace? Even his landscapes are torture. It is Soutine all over again.
Oh, I would like to meet him. Oh, isn't that him? That man with the beard over there talking to the lady with the feather in her hat.
I have not met Justin Court either, so it could be. I hear he had some violent accident when he was younger. That is why the dark glasses. All this murder and blood hanging on these walls.
Oh, Professor Benoit, perhaps we should go. This exhibit upsets you, sir.
All I am expressing, Miss Lark, is an opinion. This Julian Court is fine, very fine, but his anger brings out the anger in me. Do you understand?
I couldn't help overhearing you both because you were speaking in English. Permit me to introduce myself. I'm Amelia North. I'm an American.
I should have guessed from your accent. Madame, I am Charles Benoyer. This is Mademoiselle Beatrice Lark. She's from England, one of my art students at the Lycée.
Aren't you overcome with these paintings? Who is this Justin Court?
We think that may be him standing over there. Professor Benoyer doesn't know him, but I'd give anything to meet him.
There is some reason why this painter is punishing himself.
He is?
Well, it's there. You only have to look for it. There, that one. Like Daumier. And there, that one. Poor Vince.
Well, I must say this is the most exciting afternoon I've ever spent. Thanks to both of you. I feel like such a stranger in a foreign land.
Oh, you should not, madame. This Justin Court is also an American. If he suffers, or has suffered, then he has joined the human race, n'est-ce pas?
Garçon, enfin, s'il vous plaît. I have a certain hoarseness which still plagues me ever since... well, we shan't talk about that. When I'm tired or overwrought, there it is. The only cure is a Paris café and a good brandy at 4 in the afternoon. Ah, merci, thank you.
Mr. Court? I beg your pardon, but aren't you Justin Court, the painter?
I am, yes.
My name is Amelia North. Mrs. Amelia North. May I sit at your table for a moment?
Well, by all means.
I wanted you to know that one of the very first things I did when I came to Paris was to go to that gallery on the rue, what's it called?
Jacob.
Yes, that's it, and see your exhibition of paintings. I was overwhelmed, Mr. Court. So modern, so real, so new.
Oh, you're very kind, Mrs. North, but I'm afraid I'm a throwback to the minor surrealists of the 30s.
Oh, you're famous.
Oh, no, dear lady. Though I've lived here for 20 years or so, I'm still regarded as that relatively unknown American expatriate dauber.
Is that what they say?
No, they say, there goes what's his name.
There is such a thing as too much modesty, Mr. Court. In fact...
Are you staying in Paris long, Mrs. North?
A few weeks. Then the south of France, and then I'm coming back in the fall. I have a lovely place in Saint-Cloud. But really, I've nothing to keep me here or take me there.
Ah, yes, a free American spirit.
No, actually, I'm not telling you the whole truth. I do have something to keep me in Paris. Hopefully, it is you.
Me?
In fact, do you ever do commissions, Mr. Court?
Well, I have.
Well, did I tell you that when I was in Géringer's just an hour ago that I came away overcome?
Well, it's kind of you to say so. On the whole, Americans seem to appreciate what I'm trying to do much more than Europeans.
The commission I have in mind is not an ordinary one.
Well, I accept the compliment.
Have you ever done a portrait without the person sitting for you?
No, I never have. I rarely do portraits.
Oh, yes, but there are people and things in your pictures. They're so sad, really. They're quite awakening.
The person you wish portrayed is not in Paris.
I don't know where he is. Even if he's alive.
Will you have photographs of him?
No, nothing.
My dear lady, how do you expect any artist to paint a likeness for you with no reference?
Who said anything about a likeness? Un très bel homme. A beautiful man. 35. Drawn purely from your imagination, Mr. Court.
My imagination would satisfy you?
Oh, yes.
Mrs. North, you don't know my work well enough. I'm sorry, but I am not the painter for your commission.
I would pay well.
Well, I'm in the fortunate position that money cannot pay me for making a fool of myself. I can but do in my own way the face I see, not the face I imagine.
Well, I shan't disturb you much longer. I have here the name of another painter, a woman who lives here in Paris. Do you happen to know her?
And then, Maria Elena, she hands me this card with your name written on it.
Oh, why are you so surprised, Justin? It's possible my reputation has reached America.
Of course. I'm not saying that, but the coincidence of you, someone I know so well.
Well, after all, I was born there. So, send her along, your Mrs. North. I can always use another commission.
I don't see how. Yours is the most crowded studio on the Rue Saint-Benoît. Maria, you'll never live long enough to complete all these works.
Ah, commercial stuff. Copying the old masters for film studios, schools, and for the not extremely rich.
Oh, this isn't the original Rembrandt, is it?
No, no, my dear. It's my prize copy. I shall make money with that one.
Fantastic. I think this Mrs. North's commission will intrigue you.
So long as it is something to copy, I can enjoy.
No, no, not a copy this time. She wants a portrait out of the blue, as it were.
Oh, but you do portraits, Justin.
No, no, my kind is not for this lady. She wants a pretty picture.
Of whom?
Of nobody. No person in particular, but it must be someone the artist wishes to do.
I've never heard of anything like that. Do you mean I choose the sitter?
There is to be no sitter.
Well, then, whom is the portrait to represent?
An ideal.
Mine or hers?
This is what this strange and wealthy American lady wants. A handsome, distinguished, agreeable man, 30, 35, clean-shaven, well-dressed, a perfect gentleman, and a perfect scoundrel.
A perfect scoundrel. And I'm to find him myself.
Well, I told her you could.
Well, I suppose if I wandered about Montmartre, I could find a model. And after all, if Rembrandt could pick up some old bum by the docks for his Apostle Paul, I should be able to find the right face.
No, no, Maria Elena, this is not what Mrs. North wants. She wants the portrait from your soul, your imagination.
Why didn't you take this on, Justin?
Because I have to start with the face I see before me.
And you think I can paint a face I don't see?
You see so many more faces than I do. And you see them in memory. From all the museums that you've haunted, the great art you've studied. Now, let me arrange a meeting between you two.
No.
You won't take the job?
Do I have to meet her to try it? Is she married? Not married? Is this to be her lover?
Now, the way I see it is, I see her at home or here in her apartment in Paris. Visitors arrive. Your creation hangs over the mantel. Who is that extremely handsome man, says someone. Oh, that's a portrait of my dear departed husband. That's my guess, Maria.
I'll do it. Thank you, Mrs. North. Since she's an American, double whatever price you had in mind. Tell her she'll have it in a week or two.
You already have an idea, don't you?
Something very powerful is telling me to go ahead with this. That all the roads I have taken in the past converge on this very decision.
Ah, Maria, I am glad.
It'll be an experience to begin in my studio, not in a museum. I shall make him supremely beautiful and supremely base.
Base?
The finest gentleman a young girl did ever see. And the worst friend. Justin, I have always wanted to ask you, is Justin your real name?
Ah, Maria, what a strange question.
Do you realize, my old friend, that in all these years, I have never seen you without those great big dark glasses covering half your face?
Neither has anyone else. But accidents happen. Glass cuts, vocal cords, skin is punctured, bones fractured. But in time, everything heals. But one's looks. Goodbye, my dear. I must go. The finest gentleman and the worst friend, I shall repeat those words to your patron. And again, double the price I had in mind.
Two painters in an atelier in Paris. One who paints only emotions, and tortured emotions at that. The other, a success at duplicating past masters so well that few can tell the difference. This strange commission of an idealized man is now hers. What will she do with it? I shall return shortly with Act Two. Have an insight into seeing things that most of us don't even know exist, and of saying things equally surprising. A room hung with pictures is a room hung with thoughts. Sir Joshua Reynolds, the renowned portrait painter of the royalty and rich, he also said, "The mind sees more clearly than the eyes," which is pretty much what Justin Court told Mrs. North the following day.
Absolutely, Mrs. North. She accepted your commission.
Does she want to meet me or talk to me?
No. She feels it would add nothing to her imagination. And since you wished Maria Elena to reach into herself for this portrait, why see you?
Well, I only thought she might be curious who I was. And I suppose I would have liked to have met her. I know I've asked for something very unusual.
Maria is an unusual painter, and you'll meet her when the portrait's finished. You'll have plenty of time to thank her.
And to pay her the balance, too, I suppose. I did give you the down payment you asked for.
Oh, yes, I have it right here in my pocket.
Maria Elena. An interesting name. Have you known her long, Mr. Court?
A dozen years or so, since she came to Paris to work.
Oh, I'm getting such a tingly, jittery feeling now that it's being started. Does she work quickly?
Oh, my impression is she'll toss it off at white heat.
You artists are a most extraordinary people. Oh, how rude I'm being. I haven't even thanked you for coming all the way down here to my house in St. Cloud. And by the way, let me show you where I plan to hang the portrait. This is my room, my boudoir, I guess you'd call it.
Yes. Is that a music box playing on the table?
Yeah, it was given to me long ago. It runs for 2 hours, and I try to keep it going all the time. Now, Mr. Court, if you'll turn around. It is over that mantelpiece I am going to hang the painting. You see what it will do for this room?
And for you, too, I hope.
Why do you say that?
You are waiting for something to happen, Archer, Mrs. North. Perhaps for someone to come into your life. It is more than waiting for the portrait to be done.
What a good eye you have. How clearly you can see me, even through those black lenses, as if... No, that's not possible. As if you could see right into my soul.
No, don't look, Justin. Wait. Wait.
Marie? Do you mean to tell me it's finished already? It's been less than a week.
Justin, before I let you see it, I have to tell you, I cheated.
You have?
For 4 days, I painted as though I were bewitched. Oh, I slept a few hours here and there, but I felt I was in a furnace of passion to get every line, shadow, nuance of color, light, highlight, quickly onto the canvas before it all escaped me.
That's what I told your client. You would paint at white heat.
Oh, the man I have done is not from my imagination, not a Raphaelite or a Tintoretan man in a modern suit. He is real.
Of course, to you.
He is a likeness of a living person. At least someone who did live once. But nobody will ever know.
Are you sure?
Nobody she has ever seen or knew.
All right. Now, may I see him?
You may wait, Justin. Lord knows I had to.
Oh, of course. Someone you have raked up from the past. Your past. I don't see why not, after all. Mrs. North won't know the man.
I'm glad you agree. Now, I'll turn the painting around and place it on this easel.
Oh, Maria. Whom have you brought to life? Oh, Mrs. North will be pleased, I'm sure. He is un bel homme. Perhaps a little too fine for her fantasy. I would say it needs something less sincere in the expression. But you have captured a daredevil. I see it in his eyes, in the way he holds himself. Oh, yes, reckless.
He was. Joy, pride, high spirits, the expectations of a great fortune. But he was a dilettante, a would-be painter, believe it or not. Oh, how many years ago that all was.
It's a great work, Maria. All done without sketches or studies.
I destroyed them years ago.
Ah, then you once had them.
I once had everything.
So that it's all memory.
It is all hate.
In all the years we had known one another, I had never seen Maria Elena in such a state. She turned away from me. I could see her eyes filling with tears. And abruptly, she left the room. Maria! Maria Elena, please come back to the studio. Maria!
Forgive me, Justin. I couldn't bear to look at him any longer. I'm all right now.
I don't know what to make of all this.
I didn't want you to see my face, Justin, that's all.
Your tears.
I was 17. What is that? 20 years ago. I was very much in love with him. I thought we would marry. To this day, I don't know whether my love was ever returned. Then, one day, without explanation, without even saying goodbye, he left me to marry someone else.
You were in love with the dilettante? Of course. What does one know at 17?
He loved painting, hoping to study and become one. It's funny, isn't it? I think that's why I took it up. I had to be better than he was at what he desired. Painting meant more to him than I ever could.
Maria, you have created a living, breathing man. But the evil in him, the evil you speak of, the evil Mrs. North wanted, is not as clear.
Nor was it in him. Take it. Take it now, right now. I don't want to see him again.
I'll take the portrait to my place. She can see it there and pay me, and I'll send you a check by the first post. I told you, didn't I? I doubled your price and she agreed. It now stands at 30,000 francs.
30? Why do I feel like such a Judas?
I'm almost afraid to look at the painting, Mr. Court.
I don't see why. It's fantastically done. It will give you nothing but pleasure.
You believe that? May I look now?
For the money you are spending, your request isn't out of line. It's on the easel by the window, the one with the cloth over it.
No, well, no, I can't. Not yet. What if I were mistaken?
About what?
Well, oh, never mind.
Mrs. North, I have a great deal to do today. I cannot wait for the mood to hit you, for you to see what you've bought.
All right. Yes, I will. Now. My Lord in heaven. It's him.
This man, you know him?
It's magnificent. Just like him.
Well, who is he? Who was he?
You think I'd tell you his name?
This is all beyond me. Would you like me to have it sent to St. Cloud?
Every lash on his eyes, so real.
Mrs. North, did you hear me? Can we say the commission is concluded?
Mr. Court, do you mean to say you don't know this man?
How should I know him?
Well, you know her, the painter, this Maria Elena. She knows him. The likeness, it's beyond me how true it is.
This is someone you actually knew, do I understand?
He has been brought back to me after all this time. He's looking straight at me.
But a resemblance to a known individual, that was not what you wanted.
Oh, you've no idea how many portraits I've commissioned. Like a detective searching for a clue. And now, here I am. What'd you say?
So, you were hoping for a resemblance to someone.
No one else would ever see it.
No one but you and her.
What does she know about me?
Nothing. I hardly know you myself. This man, staring back at us so knowingly, was he to have married you?
Yes. If he'd lived. But you've got to keep that a secret.
But why from Maria, who has reproduced it?
Oh, if she'd suspect... I know she'd never let me have it. Now, what did we agree the price would be?
30,000.
I'll send you a check for 40 immediately when I get home. But promise me you won't tell her it's because I must have it. Just say I was so pleased with the spirit of the thing that I had to give her more.
You're willing to pay 40,000 francs for a painting she originally agreed to do for 15. And I'm to make such a transparent excuse? Now, stay with 30. It's enough.
No, I'm afraid to. Now, don't let her know, Mr. Court, I beg you. She'd be jealous and it would start all over again.
But you knew her. You gave me her name on a slip of paper when we first met.
She doesn't know me. I must have this painting. I must. I can't tell you more.
I don't wish to know more. I don't wish to know what comedy or tragedy you two have shared. Obviously, this man played a prominent role.
And as a painter, what do you think of it?
What can I think of a portrait that is a tour de force not done with love?
Oh, more than that. Even I can see it was painted with rage.
$40,000.
It was my idea, Maria. You contracted for a decorative trifle and you've produced a breathing masterpiece.
Is that what she calls it? Oh, Justin, what does she know?
She knows she wants it.
As much as that?
Said she'd send me a check today and you'll have mine by the first post tomorrow.
But why such a roundabout way?
It's not my idea.
You said you didn't wish to meet her. I didn't think you wanted her to know where you live.
Oh, there's more to it. 40,000 before she's even received it?
Yes, but she's seen it. It's the same as if someone bought one of mine at Geringer's. Money down and then delivery of the painting. She said she'd send for it. Now, Maria, try to understand. She's well off. She can afford things that you or I would think twice about. This time, she's bought herself a husband. And you've given her a very special one.
I have given her a husband.
Shall we say, a painted memory? Your memory.
Henry James, author of this story, was fascinated with where life left off and art began. Art does not lie in copying nature, he said. Nature furnishes the material, beauty still unexpressed, and the artist beholds more in nature than she herself is conscious of. I shall return shortly with Act Three. Wealthy American residing in France commissions a portrait of an unknown man for which she has agreed to pay a great deal of money. But as fate would have it, the painting is not of an unknown man, but of someone from the past of both patron and painter.
The concierge in my building told me that while I was dining out, a lady had stopped by and said she was to pick up a painting. I was surprised that Mrs. North had taken it upon herself to do this and said so. But the concierge said it was no strange American lady, but my friend Maria Elena. The next morning, I was at her studio quite early.
Whoever you are, come in.
It's me, Justin. Good morning, Maria. Maria, what on earth are you doing?
Exactly what you see. I'm preparing to paint right over the portrait.
Are you mad? I have a check in my pocket for you. You listen to me. You cannot throw away 40,000 francs.
No, I can't take the money.
Why not?
I can't tell you why exactly. Something has happened to me.
Maria, you cannot back out. Think of Mrs. North. She's practically fallen in love with that portrait.
Fallen in love, you say?
Certainly. Now look at him. Dispassionately. Try. What woman wouldn't?
I won't back out, Justin. If you answer one question. Does she know this man? All last night, I did nothing but ask that question. She must know him. It would account for so much. Do you understand, Justin? The way I feel, these strange sensations, the enormous amount of money she's agreed to pay for it. Justin, they were your words I kept hearing over and over all night. This woman is going to hang the portrait in her boudoir and pass him off as a husband which he never was.
Was he yours, Maria?
No.
Could he have been another woman?
I don't know. Not unless it happened afterwards. Oh, no, no, no. What am I saying? He died unmarried. He'd known many women. He hurt many. Too many. And there was one, I remember. She tried to make him marry her and was almost... He was very near it.
And Mrs. North, did you know her?
She could have been the one. But I don't know and never did. When she first saw the painting, did she act as though she recognized him?
Well, she did yesterday, but... She didn't name him.
But what did she do? Did she cry out? What did she say?
I can't remember everything she said, Maria.
If I didn't know you better, my old friend, I'd say you were hiding something, but I won't. It's very nice what you're doing for me, the 40,000 francs. It's sweet, yes, it really is, but I know...
You know what?
What he must have been to her. I have decided now... I am going to see your Mrs. North and tell her that, unfortunately for her, I have decided to keep the portrait.
To paint over it?
It's a sacrilege, Maria Elena. One does not mutilate art.
Justin, return her all the money. Do as I say.
And give no reason.
She'll know the reason.
The door was open. Oh, may I come in?
Mrs. North.
And you are Maria Elena. How do you do? I am Amelia North. I wanted to meet you and thank you. But this morning, when I sent for the painting, it was not at Mr. Court's studio. Now I see why.
Well, Justin did not bring it here. I took it last night.
But I have bought it. Mr. Court has the money.
I'm sorry. I cannot accept it.
I have bought that portrait, and I want it.
Mrs. North has a valid point there, Maria.
Mr. Court, is this lady a well-known painter in Europe?
Well, I'd say extremely well-known.
Extremely well-paid?
Well, in the arts, reputation and remuneration do not always go hand in hand.
Madame Maria.
Mademoiselle.
Suppose I were to double your fee for this painting, instead of 40,000, making it 80.
Maria, that is a great deal of money.
Perhaps not to someone who is rich.
What is your reply? Sold?
In my head, I was seeing him and you. In your house or in your apartment, you were looking at him and he at you.
So we would be. Are you jealous?
Of a painting?
Maria, 80,000. Why do you grudge this lady the portrait? Maria, you said you painted it in hate and bitterness. Sell it. Let it go.
No. No, I can't. I'm sorry. You came here for nothing, Mrs. North. Let me turn it. Face to the wall. The subject is closed.
Oh, my dearest Maria, what kind of revenge is this?
My last offer. 90,000 francs.
All the years. Why should you, Amelia, of anyone in the world... Why should you have it?
Mrs. North, I apologize. Believe me, I had no idea when you first gave me Maria Helena's name that it would turn out like this.
You knew my name. You've known it all along. You've known it was me, Amelia.
100,000 francs. Did you hear me? You can paint him again. 100,000.
You can have it. Do you wish it now? I have nothing to wrap it in.
No. Let it sit on the easel for a little while.
Justin, will you arrange about the money?
Yes. Maria Helena, this was wise of you. For your own sake, your own heart.
Don't you wish to stand closer, Amelia? It's yours. Go ahead and look at it right in the eye.
Maria, let us have some tea. Now, if you don't have any cake, I'll run out and get some.
I have everything. Will you join us before you go, Amelia?
I would love to. Maria, you never knew I existed, did you?
I knew I was not the only woman in his life. But you, by name? No, I did not.
Pour me a little more tea, will you, Maria?
I'll have some, too.
Mind if I help myself to another slice of the Genoise? Oh, don't get up, Maria. I can cut some for myself. Where is that big knife?
He was a wicked one. But I thought I loved him. I was 17. What did I know? A child of 17 in a small backwards town in Massachusetts needing so much reassurance. I used to say to him, "Do you really love me? Do you? Do you?"
Of course I do, Mary Ellen. I've never loved anyone but you.
Is that true? How can that be true?
Because it is.
They say you have many girls and that I'm just one of them.
Do you believe that?
Well, I don't want to believe it. Will we marry someday?
How can I marry a girl of 17? I'm 30. Besides, what will we live on?
Well, you're so clever. You can sing, you can recite poetry, you could teach English.
Mary Ellen, I barely graduated from school. If my father and mother hadn't left me money, I don't know what I'd do.
Oh, darling, what would you like to do?
Paint. I would give my soul to paint. I know that I have the true artistic spirit.
Oh, you have. What can you see in plain Mary Ellen Gray living in the oldest farm in our village?
I see everything, my darling Mary Ellen Gray. One day I shall paint you. I'm going abroad to learn how. I shall study with the masters.
Alone?
No. I'll take you with me.
You will?
Yes, I shall. Now, dearest heart, I must go.
Where are you going? Oh, to meet some other woman. Hmm?
What a suspicious girl you are. You know that you are the only one for me. I swear to you.
So you were the young girl who lived in the old farmhouse?
Mary Ellen, a farm girl who became Maria Elena, the painter. And you?
Amelia North. I was then. I am now.
I looked out the window, and I saw him walk slowly up the road and disappear behind a clump of maple trees.
I was standing there. It's where we met every single day.
I knew there were others.
So did I.
Amelia, why did you want me to paint him?
I didn't know you were the painter. I had no idea it was you or who you were. 3 months ago, I ran across a story of an exhibit in Paris by an artist named Maria Elena. And there was a picture of one of your paintings. That clump of maples and your farmhouse. And I said to myself, that woman lived in our town. So I took down your name and I thought, I'll go to Europe and perhaps she can help me find him.
I haven't seen him for 20 years. He may be dead for all I know. I never heard from him again.
And so I came to Paris. All the time, something driving me to have him brought back to life.
As I was painting him, the same desire.
How could I tell you I was from the same town? I was afraid if you knew, you wouldn't paint him. That's why I was so vague. But I was sure that you had to know him.
4 days. That's what it took me, Amelia. I told Justin. I thought I still loved him. But every stroke, I was painting him with hate.
Mary Ellen, we've brought him back to life. Now, we must end it.
Mrs. North, Amelia, what are you doing with that knife?
I paid for you. I destroy you. You took everything. You gave nothing. You destroyed young girls. You lied. You gave them hope, and then you took everything away. No! Look at that pretty face. I saw you on the floor. I would trample on your face, but I can't. I can't. I can't forget I loved you once. Oh, you see difference. He and I were to be married. Yes, married. My mother and father, all of us. We waited at the South Church in Old Bedford like some old-fashioned drama, but it's true. Every word. How was a girl to know? The banns had been read. My youngest little cousin was the flower girl, and her little brother was the ring bearer. They didn't understand why the wedding wasn't starting, poor little ones. People from far away, friends, relatives. And finally, nobody said anything. Everybody just drifted off, some together, some by themselves.
Amelia, I'm so sorry.
I had to exorcise him. You see, my heart was still married to him, broken and dying. And I've lived with this all these years.
Amelia, your tragedy was far greater than mine.
It was a Sunday, like today. The first day of June. For 20 Junes, I've cried all day. And all I have to remember him by is a music box my grandfather gave me that day when I came home from church without a husband.
Sunday, June the 1st. He was with me.
I keep it wound and it plays for hours on end. We were to be married at 2:00.
He left my house. The farmhouse at 1:30. Where are you going with all those fancy clothes? I said to him. Oh, this is a fancy day, he said. I watched from my window. He was starting to walk up the road. The road to the South Church. And then... I was frozen. I couldn't move. I knew he had been hit.
I was that certain, even though I didn't see it. I couldn't find him. He hadn't been taken to any hospital nearby, or the one in the next town, or the next. I went everywhere. I finally found him in a big city hospital. Yes. Yes, there had been an accident. A man in a rented gray striped morning suit. Nothing to identify him. He was in a coma. They wouldn't allow me to see him. Even then, I wasn't sure it was him. Day after day, I made up excuses to my parents. I'd go to the big city hospital. One day I went. They said he had lost his memory. Another time they were fixing up his face with surgery. I cried all the way home. I would never see him as he was again. 2 weeks later, he was gone. They would tell me nothing. I was sure he had died.
I watched the two women cling to one another. Time, the passage of time, might dim and erase their memory of this man. When I reached home, I took off my dark glasses and searched my scarred and rebuilt face. Was I that man? Today, how ugly is my face. But if Justin Court was the man who lived in America 20 years ago, I was much uglier then. I stare into the mirror, but no memories come to me. Nothing. My mind is a total blank.
Many writers have dealt with the effect of art on human nature, and the reverse. Who can forget the picture of Dorian Gray, or the prophetic pictures by Hawthorne? Henry James was no less an artist for using life as his palette, emotions as his colors, and the mystery of people's actions as his paints. I shall rejoin you shortly. There is a sense of mystery surrounding our lives, from accident to accident, birth to death. We live with beauty and pain. We find ourselves, we lose ourselves. The author of this story we have just dramatized confessed that he lived intensely, indeed was fed by life. And he adds, "My value, whatever it be, is in my own kind of expression of that." We of Mystery Theater are grateful Henry James drank so deeply of the cup of life and expressed it all so vividly. Our cast included Marion Seldes, Norman Rose, and Carol Tytel. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.